want to thank the ladies' praise. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that ministry of music. This summer, some of you remember that I was on a sabbatical. And one of the opportunities for Daylene and I, we went to a museum that highlighted the many inventions that Charles Kettering had to his credit. I think 140 plus inventions and patents that he, one of them which is that when you get in the car, you don't have to crank the car. In other words, before you went in your car, you had to crank it. And then you hope that you didn't break an arm in the process. And the ladies were so relieved that Charles Kettering invented the starter with his garage gang. He had a group of guys that were known as the garage gang, and they invented many other such wonderful aspects of our lives today. And also, he transformed from steam to diesel. I mean, that was an amazing transformation from this world, from steam engines to diesel. Amazing creative group of guys led by Charles Kettering. But those inventions were after many, many tests, many failures, many, many tests. And most of the cars that come here to even the Yuma Pine Church have been subjected to generations of tests. Troy was mentioning about his airplane situation. Believe me, you want to make sure that the people that are responsible for making the mechanical parts of that plane have tested thoroughly the experience before you go up in the air. Less critical when you're in a car. But the testing is, we're surrounded by tremendous amounts of tests. And the spiritual parallel to that, have you had your faith tested? I suppose some of you could say many, many times. Many times. How are the tests going for you? When I returned after being in Dayton, Ohio, I was reacquainted with one of my friends. I don't know how she is a 22-year-old with two children, plus some other caregiving involvement. I don't know how she lives. I don't know how she must somehow feed herself off of nothing, practically. And every once in a while, like when her tire blew just very close to the Northside Church on the way in from Prescott, I received a call. And she needed some assistance. So periodically, even though she's periodically come to the Northside Church, because she has to go by the church often and thinks of me, I'm kind of her resource for emergencies like diapers, tires, food, etc. And so I heard from her after being gone for 2 months. And a lot had happened in her life. And one of the statements that I heard from her, I think it was in Walmart or something like that when we were shopping for her, with her, she said, "My faith almost disappeared this summer. I almost lost my faith in God." And I didn't hear any more elaboration on that. But what I did hear, since I was gone, that she had started to introduce with her two children prayer before meals, whatever meager meals she has. And also, she and her boyfriend decided to get married. Now, at 22 in this generation, in that generation, that's a significant step of faith, isn't it? It petrifies some. And so I was gratified that God is nurturing this young woman's faith. I know God is active even in her discouragement. Perhaps you've been discouraged. Perhaps you are saying to yourself, it's been a long time, Lord, since you have encouraged my faith. Where is it happening? There's a passage in the Psalms, Psalm 27, verse 14, that is a treasure. And I think we had some reference to it already in our services today. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Patience on the Lord. When I was reading the chapter in Patriarchs and Prophets, and some of you may have that volume, on this passage of Scripture of Genesis 20, he readily accepted the promises of God, but he didn't have a proper view of the power of God. He doubted the power of God in his process of faith. His faith formation was weak. Well, can you understand that? Before he had Isaac, it was 50 years. Now, is that long enough to wait? Abraham thought so. In fact, it was too long. Sarah had a great idea. She said, take my assistant, my handmaid. And maybe that's what God has in mind. And so they had a child called Ishmael. And Abraham and Sarah had all their sights that was the promised child of the covenant that Abraham's family would be like the stars of heaven and fill the work of the earth. Well, God said, no, that's not my plan. It became very evident that it wasn't his plan because the family life of Abraham and Sarah was pitiful. Tragic family life. In fact, we read in this Patriarchs and Prophets chapter that Ishmael, when he became more mature and recognized what he was, obviously spoiled. This is the child of the promise. And then what would happen when a little baby came on the scene and this was really the child of promise? He taunted Isaac. He became a very problem child and teenager in the home. So much so that Sarah said, we must banish them. They left. God said, go back. And so they went back. But it became even more of a problem until finally God said, yes, they must leave. But not without the promise that Ishmael would also have a great nation. And as we see, the Arab nations of the world are basically due to that split in the home life of Abraham. When Isaac came on the scene, without Ishmael there, there was a tremendous rejoicing that this finally he was the child of promise. Abraham was 100 years old. And at the time of this scripture reading, Abraham now is 120 years. And God says, I want you, in a vision, he says, I want you to take this promised child and offer him as a sacrifice. Notice in verse 5 of chapter 22. Well, starting with verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, rose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder." And notice the word "we." Even in this horrendous agony that a 120-year-old dad is about to progress towards sacrificing Isaac, he says, "And we will worship and return to you." I believe that the Word of God says that Abraham felt that God would resurrect Isaac. Yeah. And as we heard from the audience, Hebrews mentions that. And Isaac also was of that level of faith. God will resurrect Isaac. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father, here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood." This is Isaac speaking. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." What a faith. It was not without a lot of temptation to not go through with this vision that God has asked him. The greatest test that Abraham had of the ages. In fact, Abraham's test to sacrifice his one and only son was a greater test than Adam and Eve faced. What was the temptation for Adam and Eve? "This is my tree. Please respect it." And the adversary said, "No, no. Just go ahead. Imbibe, it will make you especially wise." And so this was through great agony that Abraham proceeds. It was so agonizing, he knew that if he told Sarah about it, she would say, "You're out of your mind." In fact, the chapter in Patriarchs and Prophets that we'll hear a little bit more later from readers in the audience, he's delusional. And Satan played into that. God will provide for himself the lamb. And when they came to the place which God had told him, verse 9, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, some that are aware of that area of the world are also aware that this was not necessarily unusual for children to be part of a sacrifice. But it certainly was unusual for Isaac. You know, if you're the one. But he had so much confidence that he felt it was a privilege to be offered as a sacrifice to God. Do you think Abraham's faith, you think he had successfully passed the baton to the next generation? It seems to be that if you had a child that said, "If this is God's will, I count it a privilege to be a sacrifice for God." And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The next verse, 11. Some of you are following. How many of you would love to be that angel? I was contemplating what it would be like to be an angel and to be assigned for that split second call. Abraham. And Abraham said, "Here I am. Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." I see some parallels with Job. Now, even though Job didn't have a history of failing faith tests, Abraham did. He compromised regarding the transparency regarding who Sarah was to him in Egypt, and it caused a mess. It was a political mess. It was a faith mess. It didn't represent God well. And then the mess of trying to encourage the promise of God. Didn't wait on the Lord. And so they took things into their hands. It was very acceptable even in that culture. It was not even looked at as sin in the culture to have more than one wife. But this was not God's plan. They had taken a detour. They had short-circuited God's will. And this is what we find. Before the universe, there's another person up there, like we see in the first two chapters of Job. If you touch Job, he'll just curse you. He'll lose his faith entirely. And God tested Abraham to a degree that no other person has ever been tested. Probably the next closest would be Job. The pain of sacrificing your child. At 120 years old, Abraham, I'm sure, must have said in his 3 days of prayer, "Lord, just take me. I much rather be a sacrifice than to kill and give my son as a sacrifice." I'll share the final part of this story where we have a marvelous place in verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place when they found that God had provided a ram. They named the place Jehovah Jireh, that God will provide the sacrifice in place of the son. Today we're highlighting the great sacrifice, not just a metaphor story that was to give a picture to the universe as to what God was planning to provide for us, you and I who are gathered here. The ram represents the Son. The Son of God. And I'll read this section. We're going to have during our communion portion, we'll have several of you read the last paragraphs of the test of faith. But in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 154, the ram offered in the place of Isaac represented the Son of God, who was to be sacrificed in our stead. When man was doomed to death by transgression of the law of God, the Father, looking upon his Son, said to the sinner, "Live, I have found a ransom." That's the story. Live. You and I can live because the ransom has been found. Jehovah Jireh. It was to impress Abraham's mind with the reality of the gospel
as well as to test his faith, that God commanded him to slay his son. The agony which he endured during the dark days of that fearful trial was permitted that he might understand from his own experience something of the greatness of the sacrifice made by the infinite God for our redemption. No other test could have caused Abraham such torture of soul as did the offering of his son. God gave his son to a death of agony and shame. And then in the larger sphere, the angels who witnessed the humiliation and soul anguish of the Son of God were not permitted to interpose at the cross. There was no voice to cry, "It is enough." To save the fallen race, the King of Glory yielded up his life. What stronger proof can be given of the infinite compassion and love of God? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so we'll highlight that beautiful plan that years and years ago were highlighted for us in Genesis 22. Perhaps you have had some very difficult tests to your faith. Today we can say that we have Jesus. The one has gone before us. Hang in there. Wait on the Lord, for he will fulfill his promise.